filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
And the Crossbreed Holster Studios today are coming to you from the AM 1280, the Patriot Studios here in beautiful Minneapolis. Cold Minneapolis. Lots of snow on the ground here. They know how to drive in it, too. It's really kind of weird.
We're professionals.
It was up really above, it was up above zero today, Mark.
It was above zero. You said it was warm
when
you came into the hotel
good.
Today.
I felt good.
I got to tell you, it feels crisp. It's a crisp, clean air when it's cold like that. I don't mind that. I couldn't do it every day. But it does feel good. I admit that. It's a real crisp, clean feeling.
It wakes you up.
It definitely wakes you up. There's no question about that. When the hotel at the airport on my arrival, we're here for the Gander Mountain CCW Expo. Mm-hmm. Lee Michaels, you know that. You were there. We broadcasted from there with Mitch Berg. Wonderful time had by all. Hundreds and hundreds of people show up. We'll talk about that in a little bit this hour. But the shuttle driver said, he'll be there. I called the hotel. Yeah, he'll be there about 20 minutes. I said, okay. Well, I walked across the street, and when I walked outside, it was like walking into the opposite of a blast furnace. It was cold, man. It was like negative something teen or something like that. And I walked in and I noticed that the area where the shuttle pickup was full of people dressed in heavy parkas. And I thought, that must mean out that door over there is really cold because these people have really heavy stuff on and I don't own anything like that. And I said, yeah, it's clean. It's crisp. Like 20 minutes, right? I walked outside the door. There was me and another guy out there. I stood there for about 20 minutes. I couldn't feel the entire right side of my face when I got in the shuttle, and my right hand was numb, and my ear felt like it was falling off.
That's but the windshield for you.
It was coming in from the side of that, That's and it windshield. Didn't matter. I thought, well, crisp. He said, are you Mark? I said,
yeah. Yeah, I'm Mark.
Yeah. Is that thing got heat on it? It's pretty cold. Anyway, welcome to the program. It's great to have you here. We like to have fun, and it's great to be here in Minneapolis. It really is, all kidding aside. In the studio with me, my friend, makes him your friend, and this is Kevin Michalowski. Kevin is the senior executive. We'll add all kinds of stuff to you.
I'm getting a lot of great titles
senior
here.
Senior executive managing editor of Concealed Carry Magazine, now with over 125,000 subscribers. You and a couple other guys on your staff single-handedly changed everything about that magazine.
It's the media team domination of the world. That's our plan.
And that is happening, no question about it. Lee Michaels, operations here at the Patriot 1280 AM. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, sir.
The Crossbreed Holster Studios. We're ready to rock and roll. On the phone with us right now, David Kodria in Hudson, Ohio. He knows a little bit about cold. David, welcome to the show.
I do know a little bit about cold. It's not as bad as it is where you are, but I've had two space heaters going on my Armed American Radio satellite cigar lounge for the last 15 minutes, and I can still see my breath. So.
Are you sure that's not the Arturo Fuente Añejo smoke that you're enjoying, or is that really your breath?
No, it's absolutely, I think I've got it up to 30 degrees on this porch right now, okay. So we'll see where it's at the end of the hour.
Well, that's 30 degrees warmer than it is here,
I think. You know? It's a heat wave down there, David.
Yeah.
It's a heat wave, for gosh sakes. Hey, David, I opened up the beginning of the show. Houston listeners, in the next hour, you're going to hear... I would say it's funny. I would say it's hilarious if it weren't so deadly serious. But the hypocrisy of the elitist left Democrat, gun hater, and I can't say single-handedly responsible, but a loudmouth individual proponent of New York's SAFE Act. New York, you're listening right now in the capital city, Albany, Syracuse, Rochester areas, in Buffalo. You're listening to this show now. This you're going to hear, Houston, some of our conversation about the elitism that stinks, it reeks, and it drips of hypocrisy when gun grabbers who go after your freedoms and rights get caught doing what they don't want you to do. But then, David, it's even worse when the excuses come from their supporters, because he didn't really mean it, because he's above the law. And I'm referring to who, David? Your column, February 8th, written February 8th on Examiner.com. Take it away and tell us, please, give us this. This is incredible.
This was the story of gun control advocate Dwayne Ferguson, who helped turn the law in New York, if you get caught with a gun on school grounds, from a misdemeanor into a felony. And he's been charged with two felony counts because he brought a gun to a meeting. The school went on lockdown. They were looking all over, and he apparently was pretending like he had no idea who the person with the gun was, and he was going to protect the children. And it turns out in a later development to that story that he actually denied to the authorities that he had a gun. So this
guy
knew that he was breaking the law. Now, there was a hopeful sign in all the hypocrisy of the people saying, well, he didn't mean it. And that was, all of a sudden, they acknowledged that this guy could have been a protective benefit to the school. And of course, these are the same people that, you know, you start talking about guns in school from a pro-gun standpoint, and they're going to call you all kinds of names. They're going to say, well, you know what, you'd only make it worse, and you got to be kidding that you'd want a gun in the Aurora Theater. And, I mean, we've all heard the hypocrisy a million times, and here they're all coming to this guy's defense because he's one of them.
They're calling him a good guy, and not only is he a good guy, he was a good guy with a gun that could have actually helped the police. Liar comes to mind. New York, don't fall for this. Ferguson's a liar. He was walking around that school, and you'll hear it in the next hour, Houston. He was walking around that school pretending as if he had no idea what was going on. He was moving about the school, huddling the children to safety as it was in lockdown while the SWAT team was searching for a man with a gun, a man he knew was himself. Kevin Michalowski, go ahead.
How did they, who turned him in? Who made this call, and they were looking for a man of his description? I mean, he could not have known.
That's an excellent question. That is a good question. I haven't seen that come out in any of the news accounts for how they knew that there was a man with a gun in the school, unless, you know, perhaps he let it be seen. You know, maybe his clothes came open and people saw it. I have no idea how that happened. But that comes to another point, because if he truly didn't know that he had it, as he says, and I don't buy that for an instant, but if he truly didn't, then he wasn't a safety factor for the kids, because anybody that untrained to be going around with a gun not knowing they have it on their person is a danger to themselves and others.
Well, his incompetence at that point would be a danger, but we all know he knew he had the gun on him. He had a holster on his hip. Of course, he knew he had the gun. If he says otherwise, he's a liar. It's just that simple. It seems to be a rampant part of the liberal disease, is the ability to tell lies like this. And then have the media come to your defense because they agree with you. It's okay. It's okay if it's him. He could have helped everybody. But, David, if it were you that were caught in that school with a gun who went to pick up your child, what do you think would be happening? What would the media reaction be if it were me?
Sure. And here's the thing. He was just the first example that I exposed in that column. The second one was a guy by the name of Carlos Henriquez, who was a legislator with the Massachusetts Assembly, and he was a big proponent for the Massachusetts Coalition to Prevent Gun Violence. And he's currently serving 6 months in jail. I believe the sentence was actually 2.5 years, but 6 months in jail, and then the rest of it is served on the outside. And the legislature just expelled him. And basically the reason he was in jail was because, according to the news accounts, he wanted sex from some gal, and she wouldn't give it to him, and so he beat her up. So I can understand why this guy wouldn't want people to be armed, particularly women.
There's an interesting twist to this New York story and to Ferguson. Number one, I support his right. I think it's ludicrous that he should be charged with two felonies. If he's a law-abiding citizen and is able to meet the requirements of the permit, I hate the permit system to begin with. All the absolutists are coming at me now. Listen, I agree with you. The Second Amendment is my concealed carry permit. There's no doubt about that. But we're working within the confines of the law here. This is New York state law at the present time. This man qualifies under New York state for a pistol permit. He has one. It is ludicrous that anybody with a pistol permit should be facing two felony charges for being in that school permitted and armed, number one. In that same breath, because he is a hypocrite, because he is a liar, because he fought for the very law he now faces, I hope he gets every day of that 4 years and another one added for stupidity. David, am I wrong to feel that way?
No, I don't think you're wrong, but here's what I don't understand is what are the two felony charges for? And I'm wondering if one is for lying to the authorities. You'll recall that's what Martha right. Stewart got tripped up on. That's what Scooter Libby got tripped up on. You're not allowed, if the police are conducting a criminal investigation, to lie to them. And if you get caught doing it, and again, Buffalo News story came out and said that he denied that he was carrying a gun.
Okay, well, if that came out in the Buffalo News, I read some of the Buffalo News earlier. I didn't see that part. I also thought the same thing. I didn't know what the second charge was. I was hoping you'd be able to clear that up, and we'll just work with that assumption. I have to agree, either that or maybe he had two guns. I don't know. Armed American Radio continues right after this. Mayors against illegal guns. We got another one of those liars in trouble, too. One of those dirty, one of those mayors that hates your freedom found himself in trouble back after this.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies, staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300 degree simulators. Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
The Ruger SR45, a large caliber pistol with a trim, ergonomic profile. Like the popular Ruger SR9 and SR40, the SR45 is perfectly sized to be comfortable and controllable with a slim, ergonomic grip and narrow slide. It features an adjustable three-dot sight system, Ruger's unique reversible backstrap, an ambidextrous manual safety and magazine release, and built-in Picatinny rail. The Ruger SR45, another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger. The Ruger American Rifle is a 100% American-made firearm that offers outstanding performance at a great price. Available in standard size and compact models, it features power bedding integral bedding blocks, a Ruger Marksman adjustable trigger, a flush-fit 4-round rotary magazine, and a 3-lug bolt with 70-degree throw. Compact models feature a shorter length of pull and a shorter barrel for a reduction in overall length of more than 5 inches. The Ruger American Rifle, another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The new Tac Slide by Galco Gun Leather combines steer hide and kydex together for a fast, concealable, and economical holster design. The Tac Slide mates a kydex holster pocket to a slotted steer hide backplate with an open top and neutral cant to provide the fast and smooth draw. With 1 3/4 belt slots, the Tac Slide is worn close to the body for maximum concealment and comfort for under $40. Visit usgalco.com today. That's usgalco.com.
Didn't think you could afford that new AR-15? Yes, you can. Check out the DTI-4 by Delton. The 16-inch M4 comes fully equipped with a collapsible stock, car handguards, A2 flash suppressor, cleaning kit, two 30-round magazines, a sling, and a beautiful hard-sided case, all under $760. Delton, priced right for any budget. DEL-TON.com. That's DEL-TON.com.
North American Arms offers the most popular mini revolvers ever produced. Chambered in .22 short, .22 long rifle, and .22 magnum, the North American Arms mini revolvers are the standard by which all other mini revolvers are judged. These incredibly small and compact revolvers offer 5-shot capacity in your pocket when the chips are down and your life is on the line. The .22 long rifle can also be ordered with a holster grip. For more information on these incredible mini revolvers, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
We'll be right back. This segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by G-Code Holsters. To carry your gun in a G-Code holster, visit tacticalholsters.com. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the show. I want to start with this. Take a listen. Mayor Will Wynn, convicted of assault and battery. Mayor Eddie Perez, bribery, theft, extortion. Yeah. Oh, wait, hold it. It gets better. Hold on. The names are flipping through my screen faster than I can get to them.
Mayor Tony Mack from Trenton, New Jersey.
What happened with Mayor Tony Mack?
Extortion and bribery that for the new parking garage.
Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, obstruction, assault on an officer. And another one here. Mayor Samuel Rivera, convicted of corruption, extortion, and obstructing a murder investigation. Here's a good one popping up here. This is good. Mayor Gary Becker, sexual assault upon children, child porn. Really nice guy.
Yeah
child porn, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, here's Mayor Sheila Dixon, perjury, embezzling gift cards meant for the poor. Yeah. All Democrats, too, by the way.
You took the gift cards?
Mayor April Capone Allman, interfering with law enforcement, another good Democrat mayor. What are these? Mayor Larry Langford, he was convicted on 60 counts of corruption and accepting bribes. Every one of these names, ladies and gentlemen, are Democrat members of Bloomberg's Mayors Against Illegal Guns. They should be mayors against us.
Mayors against illegal activity.
Stop the Bloomberg gang. If you want to see that for yourself, head to stopillegalmayors.com, and they'll flash upon your screen dozens and dozens and dozens. Child molestation, assault on officers, extortion, corruption, stealing from the poor. Those are job descriptions for these criminals. David Gauthier, welcome back to the show. It is really something. It's sometimes they just throw it at you. Do not attempt to apprehend these mayors by yourself. Summon police and flee the area.
You can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
If you recognize these mayors, do not attempt to apprehend them yourself. You know, it is, David, it's funny, but it's deadly serious.
Yeah, it's funny in a way, but it's absolutely outrageous when you stop and think that these are people who are trying to control us. And of course, you know, we saw just recently another Bloomberg supporter who wants to control us, who could not control himself, and that, of course, was Philip Seymour Hoffman,
right,
who did the narration for a Bloomberg cartoonist against demanding action, he and Julianne Moore. And here's this guy, again, calling for more citizen disarmament, basically saying that people like you and I need to be controlled, and, in fact, making, you know, life more dangerous, because who is he funneling money into? The very violent criminal cartels that are causing all the violence. So on the one hand, he's enabling and giving aid and comfort to the enemies of civilization and making life more dangerous for everyone. And on the other hand, he's turning around and trying to hamper our ability to defend ourselves against the very crud that this guy is out there supporting.
Let's talk about Hoffman for a few minutes. I know you have some thoughts on that. I got to tell you, last week we had, again, a brilliant show with Neil McCabe, Armed American Radio's Washington editor. Always a great time. And one of the funniest, David, one of the funniest clips of the whole time was when he was talking about, you know, any stick if you need to be. I've just never heard that before, and he caught me off guard with that. And it wound up being a very funny segment. It clearly made the best of Armed American Radio CD when it comes out. There are several of them that are going to come out. But he opened up the show when I introduced him with Hoffman, and I was flipping through something and getting ready to move the show forward, and it wasn't until I went back and listened to part of that opening, part of that broadcast, that I heard his comments about Hoffman. Go there. What is it? He narrated what, and why is this important?
Well, in terms of what Hoffman was doing, the way I clued into it was Mike Vanderbo on his Sipsey Street Irregulars blog did a little blurb on this cartoon from Mayors Against Illegal Guns, and it was Demand Action Cartoonists. And it's these famous cartoonists that you see in your newspapers, and they all helped produce this video that Hoffman narrated along with actress Julianne Moore. And I looked at that, and I said, well, wait a minute. This video is from April of last year. Why is it that I haven't heard of this? And I looked into it, and obviously it's because within a month of this being released, Hoffman checks himself into detox for heroin abuse. So obviously at this point, you know, I'm asking myself, well, how come it's only got 173,000 views on YouTube if it's been out there now for 9 or 10 months and they've got the entire weight of the Bloomberg machine behind it. How come this thing doesn't have millions of views? And, of course, the answer has to be that because as soon as he embarrassed them by being a heroin addict, they didn't want to have anything to do with it, so they didn't stump for it, and they didn't publicize the dang thing. And when I looked at that, and here's the funny thing, Mark, I had no sooner gotten done writing an article basically saying what I said, you know, about Hoffman already, that he's enabling, you know, crime and making things dangerous while he's trying to disarm us and he wants to control us and he can't control himself. And I hit publish on that thing, and then I went over to Drudge and I saw the headline, Philip Seymour Hoffman dead, needle sticking out of his arm, 70 bags of heroin in his apartment. And my jaw dropped because it was just a total coincidence that I had done that piece and then within moments of having published it, finding the news that the guy had, in fact, terminally OD'd. It was just surreal.
Yeah, the timing was something, and you sent me an email with some very choice wording in it at the moment that whole thing went down, which probably would be better left for satellite radio.
Yeah, we'd have to clean it up a little bit.
I don't know that we could. Let's just say that the timing was really uncanny. Because it happened so quick. I mean, it's just a whole confluence of events there. And then it came out. And I, you know what, David, this is what I really appreciate you. One of many things I appreciate about you is that you didn't pull it. You didn't pull the story. You kept the story up and altered it to fit the news that had just broken, right?
Yeah, because I had some action items at the end which were no longer appropriate. One of them was to have... you know, challenge mayors against illegal guns. Are you going to join me in demanding, you know, you have all these demand things. Are you going to demand that Philip Seymour Hoffman snitch on his pusher and turn the guy in, you know, or yeah, and basically put them in a corner where, you know, if they don't, then it shows that, you know, how insincere they are. Not that we need proof of that, but it helps the more people that we can prove that to. But I did then turn around and on my War on Guns blog the next day, particularly when I saw Mark Glaze of Mayors Against Illegal Guns giving tributes to Philip Seymour Hoffman and saying what a great friend he was of the movement, I did put the original ending on my War on Guns blog, and I linked to that on my Hoffman piece so that people could see what it was before I had to go in forced by circumstances to alter the ending.
Okay. Well, you know, listen, we were talking about this prior to the show. I often say that some of the best radio you hear is the radio that you never hear. For example, when we're talking in between breaks, sometimes thoughts escape as we're you know, coming back in. And once that thought escapes, David, you've heard me say it many times, you and I have had the discussion in person, and that is stop, don't say any more. Once it gets out, we'll forget to bring it up. And it's important that we talk about it. One of those as we lead into this break. You're Kevin Michalowski. You are not just the editor of Concealed Carry Magazine, but you're also an active duty law enforcement officer.
Yes, I am.
Are you against illegal guns?
I'm against illegal guns.
Lee Michaels, you're a law-abiding citizen who had an illegal gun put in the back of your head and put down on your knees. Are you against illegal guns?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a pro-gun... I host Armed American Radio. I'm against illegal guns. David Codrey, are you against illegal guns?
Nope, but we can have this conversation when you come back.
We're going to. That's exactly why I set it up. I love you. Armed American Radio continues right after this.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
North American Arms offers the most popular mini revolvers ever produced. Chambered in 22 short, 22 long rifle, and 22 magnum, the North American Arms mini revolvers are the standard by which all other mini revolvers are judged. These incredibly small and compact revolvers offer 5-shot capacity in your pocket when the chips are down and your life is on the line. The 22 long rifle can also be ordered with a holster grip. For more information on these incredible mini revolvers, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
The new Tac Slide by Galco Gun Leather combines steer hide and kydex together for a fast, concealable, and economical holster design. The Tac Slide mates a kydex holster pocket to a slotted steer hide backplate with an open top and neutral cant to provide the fast and smooth draw. With 1 3/4 belt slots, the Tac Slide is worn close to the body for maximum concealment and comfort for under $40. Visit usgalco.com today. That's usgalco.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated, never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Okay, David, we talk a lot about the language, and we have to take the language back. That the language, we've allowed terms like common sense to be hijacked by the anti-gun left. We've allowed this to happen over the course of many years, quite frankly. Illegal guns, David. What is an illegal gun?
I would think that an illegal gun would be a gun that is stolen. I think that would legitimately be considered an illegal gun. But in terms of what the gun grabbers consider, and by the way, in terms of seizing the terms, they now call themselves pro-gun reform.
Pro-gun reform, that's right. Or gun. That's right, that's right. They're now pro-gun safety groups.
Right, exactly. But, you know, Mark, I have been on occasion in possession of a quote-unquote illegal gun myself. And let me give you two quick examples. Number one was in California when they wanted us to register our so-called assault weapons. And they had a meeting that they hosted with the California Department of Justice representatives and the forms that we had to fill out. And I and a couple friends stood in front of that room at the microphone and tore up their form and told them, this is the only form you're going to get from us. Now, I understand that I could have been penalized for that. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I also think that there's a grand tradition in this country of civil disobedience that you saw from John Peter Zenger to jury nullification, to Rosa Parks, to Henry David Thoreau, and all of that. And I'm not going to let these people tell me that my gun that I have and own peaceably and that I bought lawfully is illegal. The other situation I was in is when I had a credible threat on my life. This is in California, and a police officer who investigated told me they could not protect me. I had to lock the place up at night, and he said, sir, if I were you, I would carry a gun. I'll never forget those words. That's what really got me started on gun rights activism, because this was in an area where I could not get a permit literally to save my life. He knew that. His partner knew that. But the bottom line was, what am I going to do? Do you think that with my responsibilities to myself and my family that I'm going to let myself be executed in a dark parking lot simply to hold on to a job? No, sorry. So I am a gun criminal.
And
unrepentant, by the way.
Yeah, well said. You know, and I asked a question about illegal guns, because what we refer to and what those of us who think when we hear the term illegal gun, we're talking about a gun in the hands of a criminal that was stolen. That's what we're referring to. Kevin, what do you refer to?
Well, I just love the idea of taking back the language
that's what it's all about. This is what we have to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I get to quote, I always like this when it happens to me, but I'll quote back to David, a story that he recently wrote about the law in Oregon that says that if you transfer a gun, you have to provide the recipient's name, address, sex, social security number, make, model, caliber, and serial number of the gun, but that's not a gun registration scheme. And it's,
that's not because they don't call it a registration.
That's right. That is a background check, and they're going to keep this information on file, but it's not a registration scheme. And I really appreciate what you just said there, David, about taking the language back, and that's something we all have to do. We have to be better advocates at what we're doing.
Well, let me leave another example that we talk about taking the language back, and I ask that when we in the terms that we all think. When pro-gun activists, Lee Michaels like you, or Kevin like you, or like me, think about illegal guns, we think about exactly what you meant when you referred to, when you said as a police officer you're against illegal guns.
Right.
You're against a criminal with a gun, a felon in possession of. That's what we, but you know what? What David is referring to, he's going that extra step. And David, correct me if I'm wrong. Illegal in the terms of how someone else who doesn't like you and your rights defines the lawful gun you own. Did I articulate that right, David?
Yeah, partially, Mark. But I'm also of the mind that anyone who can't be trusted with a gun has exhibited the behaviors and done the harm to other individuals to where this person can't be trusted walking loose and free among us.
And we've heard you say that many times on the show.
Sure. And to me, it's all about what is it that you're doing with a gun. Look, you know, Martha Stewart is a felon, okay, because of her lying to the IRS or whatever it was. I don't care if Martha Stewart, and I know she won't because she's a big lib and she'll have her own bodyguards because she's rich, but I don't care if Martha Stewart had a gun for self-protection. Mm-hmm. What I care about is I care about someone abusing a gun and using a gun to victimize someone and to harm someone and to terrorize someone and to kill someone. That, the behavior, the action, because otherwise the biggest mass murder in the history of our country ostensibly committed with box cutters, the second biggest one with fuel oil and fertilizer, mm-hmm. the third biggest one with a dollar's worth of gasoline and a match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
If you can't trust
someone with a gun, you can't trust someone.
That's absolutely correct. That is it's the ultimate expression of freedom and response, personal responsibility, no question about it. But it is also why we have to take the language back. And you mentioned the term common sense. I mentioned it before the break. We hear this becomes part of the lexicon. We hear it so often that we don't think about it anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I've caught myself in conversation, David, using the term assault rifle.
Yes.
And I have to stop myself because it comes out in conversation. Common sense is another one that we hear. Common sense gun laws. Let me tell you what common sense is and why I say we have to take the language back. Is it common sense when I walk past walk through the front door of my children's school, past that no guns allowed sign or gun-free zone sign, is that common sense? Or is common sense the sign that says, warning, these children are protected by lawfully armed security. Attempt to harm them will be met with deadly force. Which one of those, David, is common sense under the true definition of common sense as we know it.
Yeah, absolutely, the one that is logical and rational. But, you know, this framing of the terms, Mark, this is something that I and some other friends of mine and colleagues have been going after for going on two decades now.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll recall, Mark, when we first met in person at that speech in Washington, D.C. that Skip Coryell put together,
right.
I gave a speech there, and it was called Intolerable Acts. And this was part of the framing of the terms. I said, instead of enforce existing gun laws, what would people do? How would they react if we said enforce existing intolerable acts? Because that, in fact, is what any infringement on the Second Amendment is.
Yeah, that's a great point. You also brought up what is definitely fodder for a future program. At some point in time, we'll get to that. I get a lot of emails from people who want to talk about the various felonies. You mentioned Martha Stewart, David. And, you know, you're not concerned with Martha Stewart. Then there is no question in my mind anyway, and this is opening a can of worms in a lot of people's eyes, that, you know, should a convicted felon be able to possess a firearm? I would answer that question. It would depend on the nature of the felony. That someone who committed a drug crime 20 years ago because he crossed a border with one joint too many weed that was a felony in California that would have been a misdemeanor in Nevada, for example, rises to a different level than someone who shot off somebody's kneecaps during an armed robbery. Would you agree with me?
I would think that, again, if you can't trust the person with a gun, what are you doing letting this person run loose in our society for? That's my bottom line on that. And it may sound harsh, and it may
It's not harsh. I think what it does is it just goes right to what I just said. Do you trust a guy who shot off a guy's kneecaps during an armed robbery?
No,
you're a law
not.
Enforcement officer.
Yeah.
And again, this is a fine line. And here's, well, Kevin, before you answer that, the reason I haven't gone there on this show yet is because, and David and Lee and those of you driving around listening to the show, is for the following reason. The rights of law-abiding citizens are under vicious assault and attack right now. Quite frankly, you know, when you shot somebody's knees off or you committed that crime, I'm not going to bring you to the top of the stack. I'm sorry. I'm fighting for my freedoms and rights here, and I've not shot somebody's kneecaps off, okay? We'll get to you, but it's the rights of law-abiding citizens that we're concerned with. And right now, I can tell you right now, I know who's going to write me the nasty emails because I get them from the same groups week after week after week. And some of them, if they do it the right way and write it in a way, I'll read it to you next week here on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll be back with David Kodria, Kevin Michalowski, Lee Michaels, Shanto Young in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Armed American Radio continues.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies, staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators. Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
Galco's patented new V-Hawk tuckable inside-the-waistband holster reaches unheard-of heights in comfort, speed, stability, and versatility. Constructed of premium steer hide, the V-Hawk comes complete with leather belt loops and tuckable injection molded hooks. The open-top design offers both speed and ease of draw, and the reinforced mouth offers one-handed return to the holster. Buy the V-Hawk from Galco at GalcoGunLeather.com today. That's GalcoGunLeather.com.
The classic design of the Magnum Research Desert Eagle pistol is back. Manufactured by IWI, Israel Weapons Industries, and designed to exacting Israeli military toughness and reliability specs, the Magnum Research Desert Eagle pistols are in a class all their own. These world-famous semi-automatic pistols are available in .44 Magnum or .50 AE calibers. Magnum Research is a car arms company. To find a dealer near you, please visit Car Arms at car.com. That's K-A-H-R.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
As we all know, the Second Amendment is under attack. It's 2014, that's right, election year. And as a gun owner, I like to keep up with all the political news surrounding the Second Amendment. And the way I do that, IRFnews.com. IRFnews.com is a new concept in news gathering. One place, one stop, see what they're talking about, see what's going on, and protect the Second Amendment. Quite simple, IRFnews.com. And remember, the Second Amendment is not debatable.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
Peter Pumpkinhead, I like this. Listen to this. Peter Pumpkinhead came to town, spreading wisdom. And cash around? Obama.
Yeah.
Spreading wisdom and cash around. Get elected, get a peace prize and give everybody money and create the biggest welfare state. Then go on there and get mad at the media for asking questions. Media. Bill O'Reilly asked him the toughest questions he's ever been asked as president. I thought he was going to come out of his skin and it was going to crack.
And it only took, what, 7 years, 6 years?
Yeah. Whatever. David Kodria, welcome back to the show. You have fun stuff. I want to turn the mic over to you. There's a little bit of hypocrisy here you want to point out to us?
Yeah, we kind of had a theme running through this segment and the way that you began the opening segment about hypocrisy of anti-gunners. And I'd like to kind of give you guys six names here.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
And the first one, this guy wrote a report called Guns in School, and the conclusion was a school is no place for a gun. And the author of that report was none other than Columbine killer Eric Harris. Mm. Okay? Then we have Robin Anderson. And Robin thought that background checks to bad
guns. Wait, hold on a second. Stop. Because we have time. Who? Eric Harris?
Yep.
He killed 12 people in school with a gun?
Yep.
I'm just saying. Go ahead.
But his liberal apologists think that, you know. No. Anyway, Robin Anderson, Mark, she thought that background checks should be expanded to buy a gun. She testified in front of the Colorado House Judiciary Committee in a hearing and claimed that background checks would serve to inhibit gun purchases. And bottom line is, who is Robin Anderson? She was the one who acted as a straw purchaser for Harris and Klebold. Okay.
The two individuals, wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay.
So fast. We have a couple minutes. I eat this stuff up. She was the straw purchaser for the two shooters who murdered 12 innocent students at Columbine.
Exactly.
Okay.
And she thinks that we need stronger background checks.
Of course.
Okay. Then we have Mark Maines. And Mark wants nothing to do with firearms, and he thinks his mom, who was a longtime Handgun Control Incorporated activist, was really right all along. That was in quotes. when she warned him against having anything to do with them. Who's Mark Maines? He was sentenced to a six-year term for his role in providing Harrison Klebold with a Tech DC-9 pistol and two 50-round boxes of ammunition.
And those are the same two people that murdered 12 people in Columbine High School in 1990s.
Yeah,
absolutely. In Littleton, Colorado. Okay.
Okay, but we can move away from them, okay, because we've kind of exhausted Harrison Klebold. Everybody knows they're kind of bad guys. We can talk about Barbara Graham. She was a Million Mom March sponsor, and what she did was she disregarded Washington, D.C.'s gun ban. This is long before Emily Miller, okay, and she illegally obtained a .45 caliber handgun, and she used that handgun to paralyze a man who she mistakenly thought had killed her son. So she went out on a revenge shooting with her illegal gun. Okay, I'll grant you that term here.
No, that's good. No, that's the point that we were trying to make with taking that language back. It's important that we make those distinctions. That was the entire purpose of that. Now, let me be clear here. She assumed she had the right person when she went on a revenge. I get
but
it.
But she doesn't trust you with a gun.
I get it. It's coming clear to me now. Lee's in the back room laughing behind the glass. Go ahead, David.
Okay, I got two more names here. The one name is Annette Stevens, and she was president of the Springfield, Illinois Million Mom March chapter, and police executed a search warrant on her place to investigate a drive-by shooting, and guess what they found in her house? They found illegal drugs and a handgun, for which she did not have the state-required firearms on her identification card. And furthermore, press reports said that the serial number had been filed off of the gun.
Mm. Now, that would make that an illegal gun.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
So if she had illegal drugs and an illegal gun, doesn't that elevate the illegal gun charge in the presence? You're a police officer.
I don't know. All of these, you know, they're making me trust you and Kevin and Sean and Lee all the less, man. You guys just need to be controlled here because these people are out here telling us that you do. And last but not least, I want to tell you about a lady who penned a newspaper column to ban, quote-unquote, assault weapons. You may remember her as the Long Island Lolita, Amy Fisher, who shot her co-adulterer's wife in the face.
Right.
Okay.
Disfiguring her for life, by the way.
You know, disfiguring her for life. I believe there was nerve damage and the face was partially paralyzed. And
that
went up
true.
To the house, rang the doorbell. The wife opens the door and bang, Avon.
Got shot in the face. Exactly. Got shot in the face. And she has permanent paralysis in her face. Now, what did she do?
Oh, she wants to ban assault weapons, quote unquote.
But that's okay. She used a handgun when she shot someone.
Right,
and
but you and I.
Whenever this happens, they want to take the guns away from the people who didn't do it.
I guess she wants to sue the tobacco company when she gets cancer too.
But I think the whole point of this and the reason that I wanted to bring that up is because that just shows that, you know, these two recent stories about Dwayne Ferguson in New York and Carlos Henriquez in Massachusetts, they're not, you know, just recent anecdotes that happen to fortuitously come across the transom here. These folks who want to control us, I believe in many cases are projecting, and the reason they don't trust us is because deep down inside, something about their psyche, their twisted personality realizes that they themselves can't be trusted because they themselves are out of control.
Mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein wanting to make a movie that will bring the NRA to its knees, wish they were not in existence after he's done with them, after profiting hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on firearm-related, need I say anymore? I'll say one, Pulp Fiction. If you haven't seen it, go see the movie. This is the man who wants to bring the NRA to its knees. I wonder if he wants to give the money back. David, I have to ask you a question. I pulled a column. I've been looking to get your take on this in the last couple minutes of the show. Feds to expand legal benefits and services for same-sex marriages. Our illustrious Attorney General, head of the Department of Justice under Obama, Eric Withholder, according to CNN, in a major milestone for gay rights, the United States government plans to expand recognition of same-sex marriages in federal legal matters, including bankruptcies, prison visits, and survivor benefits. And I will add this, he says, and I quote Eric Holder, to the greatest extent possible under the law, The expansion will include 34 states where same-sex marriage isn't legal. This is a danger to the sovereignty and to, of course, 10th Amendment and states' rights issues. This goes right to the very core of why I ask you this. What does this have to do with guns? This is the selective enforcement, as we discussed with Alan Corwin, of the law under this attorney general and this administration that should frighten every single gun owner when it comes to selective enforcement of marijuana laws, selective enforcement of immigration laws, selective enforcement of same-sex marriages. Does this impact our guns? Can they use the same techniques against our gun rights? We've got about 20 seconds for you to answer.
Absolutely, because they use selective enforcement all the time against, you know. And the bottom line is, look at David Gregory, right, in Washington, D.C.
Thank
he
you.
Can have a magazine, but just plain Joe Average has a shotgun shell that's inert, that's expended, and he's got criminal charges.
David Kodria, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week on the Armed American Radio Network. Kevin Michalowski, it was a pleasure, brother.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
We're going to have you back in the studio and in a number of different studios. Lee Michaels, always a pleasure. Thanks to the great people at AM 1280, The Patriot, Armed American Radio's affiliate here in the Twin Cities. For Gander Mountain, for bringing us up for the CCW Expo, for the Concealed Carry Magazine, the whole crew. We'll see you next week. Carry on, carry off, and carry everywhere.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in the
Folks, you paid a king's ransom to send your kids to the finest colleges. Now they've graduated, and guess what? They can't find a job. You've already invested in their education. Now invest in their careers. Start a business that your adult children can run and flourish in. You hear it here. Give your children the break in life they really need using money you already have. Just call my friend Steve Cooper at ersop.com, the Entrepreneur Rollover Stock Ownership Plan.
Thanks, Hugh. We've helped countless people use their retirement money to invest in businesses for themselves and their family. It only takes a couple of weeks to finance, and it's totally legal.
Trust ersop.com to help you start a small, profitable business that could give your adult children a head start. Turn your family's fortunes around using your own money legally with no debt or payments. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. 866-MY-ERSOP.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.com.